service. I'd like to do it by considering again the song that I introduced to you a couple of weeks ago. So we'll just go straight into that to allow us to sort of settle down and prepare ourselves for our service this morning. For you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you for gathering us together this morning, the community of your people, building bonds of love and welcome and fellowship. As we look to you in our service today, may we know your presence and hear your voice and be moved by your spirit to respond in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm hoping that we can have a reading now. We're doing it slightly awkwardly, so. Shirley, over to you.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
That worked alright. A message from East Paul. I wanted to start off this morning with that song of welcome, because today's service is rather a judgy one. And we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, Paul says to the church in Rome. So when we talk about judgment, we need to do it in a way that doesn't negate our welcome to each other. But the reason we do talk about judgment is purely because of the holiness of God. We can never be good enough to come near to him. So we're going to sing again and remember the awesomeness, holiness and righteousness of our living God. And you can come up and sing this one, Debbie. Have you a drink of water there? Anyone else who wants to come up and sing is welcome to. Otherwise you can sing behind your masks from your seat.
Oh,
We see that many people are driving down this road in their cars. You can't see them in the picture because they've gone out of sight so quickly. It's quick, it's easy, it's comfortable, it's dry this week. You want to get somewhere quickly? Worried about what you'll look like when you get there? Surely this is the way to go. We look around, we see this path. No one's going that way. There's a couple of children on it, but they don't mind being muddy. It's going to be slippery and squelchy after all that rain, and we know all about that, don't we, Debbie? We'll get hot and bothered, it'll take ages. It's funny how you accidentally come across things. I searched for a picture of a road online and it came up with this one. What struck me looking at those two pictures was their similarities. A wide tarmac road running through trees isn't as different to the narrow road, the narrow woodland path as we might think. It's not particularly obvious in either case where the roads are leading. There are no warning signs. I don't know about you, but when I read the passage, normally I tend to picture this as a glaringly obvious decision. And so there was a signpost saying, this way to destruction, this way to life. It doesn't always happen that way. Jesus says, not only do few people enter the narrow gate, few people even find it. Those guys in the cars zooming along the road, have they even considered the possibility there might be another way to travel? They don't purposely just choose the easy route, they follow the crowd. Now, just because something's easy or everyone is doing it doesn't make it right. And we're told that from a very young age, aren't we? But it also doesn't automatically make it wrong. So that means there are times in our lives when we will be doing what everyone else is doing. There will be times when living as a Christian is easy. And I know that seems at first glance to be rather unbiblical, though we'd like to hear it. We live in a society, unlike Jesus' society, that values some of the things that Christians value. We don't always have to go in the opposite direction to everyone else. But that means that we're going along our merry way on this road. Are we thinking about what we're doing? Are we alert? Are we observant? Are we listening? Or are we swept up in the crowd, moving too fast to see our surroundings? Kept busy chatting with friends so we can't hear the voice of God? Let's watch a video. The 1980s cartoon nostalgia for you. What happened there? The cars were all just racing along, not really paying attention, following the road, following the other cars, and suddenly found themselves stuck somewhere they weren't meant to be. It's so easy for us to do the same, isn't it? The wide road looks good, looks easy. It's the one everyone uses. We don't even think about where it's heading. Before we know it, we've passed by any number of junctions, and we've ignored the narrow gate without even realising it. Jesus is warning his hearers and warning us. We can't just blindly follow the crowd, assuming it's going where we want to go. We should be thinking about where our actions are taking us. Doing the easy thing doesn't mean it's the right thing. Following everyone else doesn't mean we're headed in the right direction. Even if the other people are good, kind, friendly people, we need to keep our eyes open for the gate. And when we come to the gate, as we've done this morning, we have to be prepared to make a choice. A choice that is all the harder if we've been enjoying the easy road so far. Do we continue with our friends on the wide road, or do we get out of the car and walk through the narrow gate? What would our friends think? What are you doing? What's wrong with us? Are you too good for us all of a sudden? I'm not dressed for a hike through the woods. What if we get lost? What if it's too difficult? What if I arrive late, hot, sweaty and dirty? Well, Jesus says, wouldn't you prefer to arrive at abundant life, late, hot, sweaty and dirty, than arrive right on time and dressed for destruction? followers of Jesus can't simply take the easy way. They have to be prepared to follow him in the much narrower, lonelier and more difficult way. And that can be hard. That's why we need the church. When the world is going one way, the church is called to go God's way. And we help and support one another in doing that. So as we stop for a moment this morning and take notice, we're standing at these gates, we stand together. I don't know what those gates are for you. Where's he leading you to step off the wide road and onto a narrow, difficult one? What way is God calling you to go right now? Just take a moment. Then we want to pray together. Lord, would you show us the path that we're on? Show each of us what it is that you're calling us to. Just in this time of silence, we pray that we might hear your voice. Tree, that's a pear tree. It's their fruit that shows us what they are. Jesus is still speaking here about prophets, teachers, people claiming to speak from God. Are they living the life they proclaim? Are they practicing what they preach? Do they show love and faithfulness and dependence on God? Do they attract others to hear the word? Or are they actually uncaring, power-hungry and judgmental? Paul warns against the bad fruit of the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies. If someone's acting in that way, regardless of how they dress themselves up or how spiritual they make themselves sound, their fruits are proving them to be false prophets. And they shouldn't be listened to or followed. They also shouldn't be ignored, because as I said earlier, we're all sinners. Even our leaders do things wrong. Mistakes aren't the end, and Jesus offers us forgiveness. They should be rebuked and brought back to God. But they can't show us God's way if they're not following it themselves. And if their consistent lifestyle follows patterns of anger, lust, greed or ambition, that's not someone speaking for the Lord. But if, on the other hand, they are producing good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, we can know that the Spirit's at work within them. We can trust them to lead in God's ways. But so much for teachers and prophets. What about everyone else? Jesus continues, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Do you want to put the next reading up there? Sorry, I need to shout. It's reading time. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then he will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And here we see a different type of disguise. The disguise that we put on not to trick other people, but to trick ourselves. And this one we have to be so careful of. You see, we can make ourselves think that we're good people. We can make ourselves believe that as we serve the church, we can't be doing anything wrong. We can make ourselves think that because we're successful, we must be right. It's not true. These people had the right words. "Lord, Lord," they said, but they didn't mean it. They showed off power from God, but didn't really know God. "Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." You might think, well, casting out demons and prophesying, surely that is the will of God. And perhaps it is. But what about the rest of their lives? Were they casting out demons on a Sunday morning and going home and beating their wives? Were they prophesying in church and cheating in the marketplace? Or were they just so proud of themselves for what they were doing that they were basking in the glory and not really doing it for God at all? We don't know. What we do know is that if we're to call Jesus Lord, he must be Lord of our whole lives, private as well as public. Secular as well as sacred. What we proclaim in church must be what we live out in the world. Otherwise, we're wasting our time here. Jesus will say to us, "I never knew you." The holiness of God can't stand in the presence of wickedness. Thanks be to Jesus that he offers us forgiveness for our sins if we call on him. But he asks that our lives be submitted to him and lived in obedience to him, bearing good fruit. The promise of the first psalm was that those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Because because what they do is the will of God. So what about you? Will you choose the narrow path, listen and follow those who bear God's fruit, and submit to Jesus in deed as well as word? Or will you follow the easy way, listening only to those who say what you want to hear, acting as though just coming to church is enough? When God made a covenant with his people through Moses in the Old Testament, he said this: "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, the two gates. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess." The same choice, the narrow gate of love for God, the narrow path of obedience, honest following and teaching of his commands, doing his will that leads to life. We've all at times made the wrong choice, and we need to repent. Repentance isn't just confessing that we've done things wrong and asking for forgiveness. That's like saying, "God, I'm on the wrong road, I'm bearing the wrong fruit, please don't hold it against me." Actually, God calls us to give up those wrong things, to step off the wide road onto the narrow path, even if that means backtracking and seeking and difficult decisions, to allow him to transform us from orange trees to apple trees, which is a work that only he can do. So as we confess before him, we not only say, "I've done this wrong," but turn away from that wrong way and onto God's way, asking him to transform us into the people he wants us to be, submitting to him as Lord. Will you pray? Just for a moment, in the quiet, ask God to show you any hidden wrongs you've done, or anywhere where you're on the wrong path. Are you able to give them up to him, turn away from them? And then, and only then, can we ask for forgiveness? Lord, we are so far from your holiness. Forgive us for those times we've taken the easy way instead of the right way. Give us strength to stand against the flow of public opinion and what everyone else is doing when it goes against your will. We know that there are people in the world, even in your church, who are other than they appear. Give us discernment in judging who to follow, that we might be led in your ways. Lord, open our eyes to anything in our lives that's not submitted to you. Don't let us deceive ourselves into thinking we're good enough, but give us humility to accept your grace and submit to your will. Grant us a pure heart and desire to do your will in all things. Amen. Is Jesus Lord in your life? Even those of us who have proclaimed Jesus is Lord for many years may still find that there are areas of our lives where this isn't really true. I invite you now in the quiet to ask Jesus to be Lord of any part of your life you've kept from him. Make a decision to take the narrow road that leads to life and submit to him. Ask his Holy Spirit to fill that area of your life to enable you to live in his way. If you want to do this either for the first time or because you've identified parts of your life you haven't given over to him, please do speak to me or one of the deacons afterwards. There aren't any deacons here, just me then. Speak to me afterwards, so we can help and support you to maintain that life and fruitfulness. And I invite you, if you're able, to sing. called Your Will Not Mine. If you'd like to come and give it a go, Debbie. Think about the lyrics. If you don't feel able to sing them, don't sing them. But if you do, please join us and sing. Your Will Not Mine is what I desire to sing. Praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Holy One who yet forgives our fallen humanity. Creator of all who gives us all good things. Redeemer who restores us to fullness of life. Healer, giver of wholeness and strength. Rock who sustains us in difficulty. We lift to you those we know and love who need you. We bring them in prayer into your presence that they might know your touch. And in the quiet now, perhaps you want to bring others to God, either speaking out loud or in the quiet of your hearts, and ask for God to help them. in the grace and love of God, to walk in his strength the path he sets before you, and shine his light of grace in the lives of those you meet.